nation, for those others in our congregation that's going through a lot of hard times right now, physically and the families. Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Luke. Book of Luke. How wonderful it is. I wonder this morning as we're reading this, and as I read it, I start thinking back how many times I've heard it read it myself, hundreds, maybe even thousands over the years. And isn't it wonderful that the story never grows old? Seems like every time I hear it read or every time I read it, it's refreshing, it's restoring, it rekindles that bright light that Jesus is, that bright light. Let's read together and then we'll see what the Lord will have us comment about this wonderful story. You say, oh, you've heard it so many times, you got it on. No. Always something fresh, always something in there that perhaps we never thought of before. And remember, God's a creator, God. He doesn't run out of the words that he has for us to praise and worship and adore his name. Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, with his espoused wife being great with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in the manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David the Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Look at verse 10 again. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings. I want to look at the thought this morning. Oh, come and behold him. The angels were so excited. Of course, you can imagine there had been an absence of Jesus in glory for those 9 months, because when Jesus left the Father's throne and came down and was that seed in the womb of Mary, he wasn't in heaven. And we're told in the New Testament that the angels did not understand all that was going on. It was like they were looking over the balcony, but then God let them see that birth, and he let the angel go down and not only to praise and honor God for the birth of Jesus Christ on this wise, but the angel had that message. So I want to look at three things this morning. This, of course, is the greatest event of the ages. As Brother Randy said, there had been 400 years of silence from God. Oh, it wasn't as though he was doing nothing. He was silent to speak to men. He was still ruling the universe, still giving his people, although they had faltered and failed and squandered, and they were still having their worship services, all right. But in the book of Malachi, God said he is getting sick of it. They were bringing their worst, supposed to sacrifice the best into him. But in those days, the priests and the other people of the Jewish people, they were bringing their worst to him, still in their mouths, but not in their hearts. So God just shut it off. Then Jesus left heaven. Now he was born. So this is and was the greatest event of the ages. It's hard to imagine. I try to imagine that Jesus, we've never seen him, although we shall see him. Now he, the Son of God, and he was the one in the book of Genesis that spoke it into existence. Let us make man. Then they made man, and remember what man had done, squandered and failed and sold us out. But thank God Jesus was come to purchase us back to the Father. Only way you and I could get to the Father would be a miraculous birth. God himself, full man and full God, would come down. And then he was going to Calvary. It was already predetermined before the foundation of the world that Jesus will come and shed his blood. We're told about in the book of Isaiah and other places that a virgin shall have a child. And that virgin, of course, was Mary. And now as Jesus was born, just like God said he was going to be born, it was in Mary's womb. And then Mary, remember, had went to visit Elizabeth, and Elizabeth, the cousin, was John the Baptist, was in her womb. And when she beheld Mary and the babe was in her womb, the babe in Elizabeth's womb will leap with joy, I'm telling you, the touch of God. Isn't God wonderful? And when I hear the good news, there's something within me that just kind of leaps afresh and anew. It's an old story, but it's a brand new story for me every time, because I know that it is the greatest story ever told. And then, of course, after Mary had visited Elizabeth, she had that journey. And now she's going to give her son. And then we know later on, as the dedication is taking place, the prophecy comes to her, how she's going to have to witness and see that son be put to death. A sword shall come. She didn't understand it all. The Bible says she pondered it in her heart. And you and I, as we think about this virgin birth and as we give God glory and honor for sending his son, we don't fully understand it all, but thank God we accept it. We believe it. And thank God he, the Holy Spirit, helps us believe it in our heart. So it is the greatest event of the ages. The second thing I'd like to look at is a glorious expression of joy. Can you remember the time you got saved, whether you were 5 or 50, whatever you were? The glorious expression of joy that came into your heart. You wanted to tell everybody, and you did the best you could, and they didn't understand if they wasn't saved themselves, what happened to you, or just a glorious expression of joy, and you try to tell it. Now the angels have that story. Let's look at three things about this glorious expression of joy. First of all, the angel with good tidings. Jesus Christ is born. The angels came to the shepherds. And the mission that Jesus Christ was going to have, go behold, go tell the world that Jesus Christ is born, the Son of God, the one. And notice the text says it wasn't just for the shepherd. It was for all people everywhere. Ever since Adam and Eve sinned, it was for them. Remember, God had slain some animals and produced a covering of those animals and reached out. And by the covering of those animals, Adam and Eve hid their nakedness. A type of a covering that God gives us when Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb of God, is going to shed his blood. And that blood, when received and we have application of that blood to our heart, then there is a covering of all the sins. And this covering will never, ever, ever let go, because it diminishes, it destroys, and forever puts away the sins that so easily beset us. Thank God for the mission that's not only the angel with good tidings, but look at the announcement of who it was that had come to earth. And I think about those shepherds And when you go to Israel, they'll take you to a place they call the Shepherd's Field. I tried to find the picture I'd taken of it years ago and bring and show you, but we don't know that was a Shepherd's Field, but it could have been. And there were other such places. And at that particular one where they showed us overlooking Bethlehem was a cave. And the angels were keeping watch over their flock by night somewhere in around Bethlehem, and it could have been that place, but anyway, it's marvelous to behold, as in the winter time, no doubt, and it got cold just like it would here. But now, can you imagine as the angels appeared to the shepherds, the excitement they had? God chose them, and God chose you, and God chose me to let us know we have the Word of God, we have the Spirit of God that introduces and shows us that Christ Jesus is the perfect Lamb of God. So the announcement of who he was Savior. The Savior means a deliverer, one that will come and deliver us from the bonds of sin, the shackles of sin, and the place that we were alienated, we were against God when you were born. I know when you look at your baby pictures, oh, what a sweet little beautiful baby you might have been, but we were in sin. Our mothers conceived us in sin. Oh, but I had a godly mother, so did I. But I was conceived in iniquity because of Adam, our forefather, and Eve being the mother of all living, the Bible says. And she was. But thank God he came to be a Savior, a deliverer, one that would preserve and get us out of the sin pit and out of the mire. Not only announcement who he was as Savior, but he was the Christ, means the anointed one, full man and full God. And your minds can't comprehend that, except we know that with God all things are possible. And it was, that even though he was just in Mary's womb, he was still God. Only God could do that. And then as he grew up, and as he went to Calvary, it was God incarnate. And he suffered as man, but yet he was God without sin, the anointed one. Not only was he Savior, the announcement of who he was, but he was Christ. And then he says he was Lord. Let's look what that means. Lord, to a person, it means to all things belong. He is our Lord. That means we belong to him, and everything we have belongs to him. That's what lordship is. The Lord also means the possessor and the one that is disposer of everything. He's either Lord of all or he's not Lord of anything. He is Lord of all. He's the owner, the one that's in control, the one that speaks to your heart, the one that purchased us, the one that was now a babe in the manger, but yet the Lord means that he would die sacrificial death. He would be buried and he would arise. He would go to the mercy seat and take that precious blood. And now he's ruling over all the world. And when he came to me and when he came to you and convicted us of our sins, showed us he was Savior, showed us he was Lord, we accepted that role. So now it means a sovereign one. The one is master of my life. And God has given him everything. All the fullness of Godhead, God has given him. It's an expression of respect. When we say Lord, sometimes people say Lord when bad things happen. That may be okay, but when you say Lord, it means I respect that. I give honor and glory to him because he is Lord. He is master. He is ruler. He is divine. He is sovereign. But it also means it is a title and an honor that God gives unto him to honor his son. Lord, does that ring a bell in your heart? He is Savior. He is Christ. And he is Lord. So we've seen the angel with the good tidings and the announcement of who he was, but let's look at another account. If he had been born and you don't know how to find him, that wouldn't have helped much, would it? But there's an account given of how they can find him. You see, he was crucified and he ascended to glory, and there his blood's on the mercy seat, and there he makes intercession. But if we didn't have an account, how we could find him? So let's look at the shepherd's account. Where are you going to find this babe, this Lord, this Christ, this Savior? Scripture says, in the city of David. Where will he be? What will he look like? Oh, he'll be wrapped in swaddling clothes. Not born in the palace. Not having a manger or a baby crib that's all decked out with what people can do this day and time. Just swaddling clothes. No other baby's going to be like that. He is unique. There's only one Savior. There's only one Christ. There's only one Lord. And you can find him in Bethlehem. Interesting. The only time God mentions Bethlehem after that in the scripture is when he's telling about it. Why? Because Bethlehem means house of bread, and he is the bread. And he was born, as the scripture said, in Bethlehem. So now he will be lying in the manger. You won't have to wonder when you see him if that's him. And when he comes to you at salvation, you won't have to wonder, is this something else? No, it's unique. The Spirit of God that hovers over us, that convicts us of our sins, and allows us to come to him and recognize his presence with us. And then after you get saved and he speaks to your heart, he said, my sheep know my voice. Not once have I ever had to say, Lord, is that you? No, his voice is unique to me. Do you hear it audibly? No, I hear it more precious than that. It's unmistakable when he speaks to my heart. No one else can speak to my heart. Satan tries, but he can't penetrate. You know, once you get saved, God gives you gates. There's gates you have to enact, and there's gates of hearing. You need to hear what he has to say and not what the world has to say. There's a gate in your eyes. When you see something you know is of Satan, you got eyelids, you can close them. And when Satan tries to penetrate and speak to you about your sins, you don't have to listen. There's a gate there. He said, my sins are gone. Why? Because he's Savior. He's Christ. He's Lord. He has delivered me from the chains of bondage, from the chains of hell. But now, the accompaniment, the angels, let's notice the angels' accompanying host. The Bible says that there was a multitude. We don't know how many was in that multitude, but I do know this. Every time God uses a word in the scripture, multitude, it means a large number that cannot be numbered. It wasn't just dozens. It wasn't just hundreds. It was a multitude. Multitude is like multiplication. And no matter how many it was, it's all God wanted. And what were these angels that were accompanying the angel doing? They were rejoicing. They were, what made them rejoice? Seems to me as they, soon as they heard his name mentioned, rejoicing began. And when I was in sin, 12-year-old I was, been in church all my life, but that day, when the Holy Ghost mentioned the name of Jesus to me, it was this. I'd never heard that name before. I'd heard it in my head. But this day he introduced it and was willing and wanted to take the name of Jesus from my head to my heart. All I had to do is acknowledge my sins. I had to go where he said to go. That was on my knees. And that was easy to do. And of course, tears flowed from my eyes. And as he was mentioned to my heart, Jesus, Jesus, I had no trouble whatsoever coming to him because he first came to me. And Jesus appeared in Bethlehem and the angels were invited to go see, to tell the shepherds to go see. And what were they doing? They were praising God. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, that's where I dwell, that's where you dwell. No peace possible without the Prince of Peace, Christ Jesus. He is our peace, and he came to give us peace and to give us all that we need according to his riches and glory. Then lastly, I want to look at the grace that was extended to the shepherds. God is a God of grace, and He came down with this glorious announcement, and the glory of the Lord appeared. In the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that He is Lord. So let's look quickly. These shepherds now, once they had that grace extended, they had the choice to go quickly. And the Bible says they were faithful to their calling. And when He saves you and when He saves me, we need to learn to be as the shepherds. We need to be faithful to our calling. They left all the sheep. There were no doubt wolves, and there were no doubt bears and all kinds of things that could harm those sheep, but they found something greater than that. They were willing to forsake everything and be faithful to the calling. When was it? It was in that time. You see, a lot of times there's things that happens at night time because it was a world of darkness. But now He wants to express, let them know that, hey, the darkness is soon going to disappear. Not a physical darkness, but a spiritual darkness. Why? Because Jesus, the Savior, the Christ, the Lord, the Redeemer, is born. And light dispels darkness. And they were the first to see. What did they do? They made haste. They left their flock. And they went. What did they do after they beheld Jesus? It didn't hurt them one bit. They didn't go back immediately to the flock. Because there was flock up there and a lot of dangers to come. They went everywhere, the Bible says, telling others. What happens when you get saved? You want to tell people about the Lordship, about the Christ, about the Savior, about the Redeemer, how He has purged you from your sins. And it seems like you just can't tell enough people. You get on the phone. I remember when my two boys got saved. They called Grandma and Grandpa. They couldn't wait to get home. They called Grandpa and Grandma and say, I've been saved. You know what, Grandma? You know what, Grandpa? God just saved me. Just can't wait to tell someone. And notice they weren't telling anything negative. A lot of times we tell all the good things and you never run out of good things to tell. But why do we sometimes start telling negative things? Well, this and that. No, there was no negative in their voice. Just telling the good things about what they'd seen. And they were silent about everything else. Wasn't going to talk about anything else. A lot of things they could have talked about, how God had blessed them, given those sheep, how given them health, given them families. No, something they found greater than that. They were silent about everything else except we have beheld Him, the Savior, the Lord, the Christ, our Redeemer. And no doubt they were telling, you got to meet this Son. You got to meet this babe. When that babe would grow up and be a perfect man and give his life. And then lastly, they had the fruits of their labor. Look what happens. The world had the ability to listen to them. And you would think, and I was thought a lot about this, they told no doubt hundreds of people that night and the rest of it, we have seen the angels appear to us. You should have heard their voices singing. There's nothing, we'll never hear anything like that again. Angels. We have great singers in our church, but as good as you are and you're good, we can't sing like angels. We're still in human flesh. But now they could remember and echo in their mind and seeing on the hillside the glory of the Lord, and they could never express and tell others what they had heard. And then you would think hundreds would have come to the crucifixion, but they didn't. Oh, the word got around. This babe that was born 30-something years ago, he grew up, he's Lord, he's still Christ, he's still Savior. He doesn't change his identity. And they have him hanging on a cruel Roman cross. You would think those people that were no doubt still living, some of them, would have rushed out there and left Bethlehem and we beheld him as a babe. And we told their kids about it. And we're going to see him hanging on the cross because we met the Savior. Very few of them, if any, did that. So it reminds us, we worship Him this Christmas season. We adore Him. We lift Him up. But are we telling others? Are we rejoicing? Are we still putting Him first in our life? If he's your Lord, then you will. He's your master. If he's your Savior, you'll never get over that feeling. If he's a Christ child, he has redeemed you and lifted you from your sins. Thank God for the ability just to read it and come again in their minds and come and behold him. Who is he? He's Jesus. He's God's Son. And again, he's coming back. Who's he coming for? To receive those that have had their sins purged. Would you stand? Your heads are bowed. Come and behold him, Christ the Lord. Would you please come to the piano organ?